Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 12 this morning is where we'll start. Matthew chapter number 12. We're going to start at verse number 22. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 22. The Bible says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." All right, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time that you give us to come to your house, Lord. And Lord, there's a spirit in our world, and I think is more evident ever before in our country, Lord. But this spirit hasn't just started in the last year or 2 years or 3 years or 6 years, Lord. This has been a spirit that has been gaining momentum, and Lord, we don't like to see this in our country. And Lord, I believe that this music that we're talking about this morning, it is an important part of how it has changed the thinking, the philosophy of a lot of people. And Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning, guide my thoughts, guide my words, Lord. And Lord, help me to say only what you'd have me to say. And Lord, I pray that it would just be a better understanding of how important it is that we listen to the right kind of music, that we allow our children to listen to the right kind of music. And Lord, thank you for music. Thank you for the way it ministers to our spirits. And Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning, help Pastor and the other Sunday school classes that are going on. I pray that you just be with them and help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about music being a universal language. Music is understood regardless of being able to understand the words. You can understand the music. However, the music, not just the words, is very important. It is the music, the beat of the music, the rhythm of the music. And the world knows this. The world knows that they can relay a message through music, okay? And it's not, it is about the delivery of this music. We talked about there are three parts of music that corresponds to the way that God has created us. We mentioned that, the melody, the harmony, the rhythm. And the rhythm appeals to our flesh. The rhythm appeals to our body, okay? That's why we like the beat. That's why, you know, and there's nothing wrong. You know, we have songs that you tap your foot to, all right? And that's natural, okay? Well, I don't know what the little clicking thing that they use, metronome. You know what that is? It's a beat. It's a rhythm, okay? And so there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that rhythm in the right place. And we talked about our body and our spirit and our soul, and how our body needs to be put in the last place. And pastors taught that before here. Our spirit needs to communicate with God. And if we're always feeding our flesh through music that appeals to our flesh, the spirit is going to suffer as a result of that. So we looked at that briefly. I believe the Christian should have music that first and foremost ministers to the spirit. Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with classical music, okay? What I would call classical music, okay? But that's not necessarily music that ministers to your spirit, okay? And we have to have the right balance there. The music that the devil wants you to listen to caters to the flesh and the appeasement of the flesh. This music is conveying messages to your flesh that you may not even realize. You don't even understand that it's conveying a message, okay? A lot of you have probably heard of Marilyn Manson, okay? Rock star Marilyn Manson. I'm just going to tell you a few, you know, he said, hopefully I'll be remembered as the person who brought an end to Christianity. He said that, okay? He was an ordained reverend in the Church of Satan. He mutilated himself on stage, blasphemed the Holy Spirit. He sold t-shirts, says, kill your parents, I love Satan. There's a lot of other stuff. I can't honestly read some of it. He said this, though, because this is what I'm trying to relay. The music relays a message, even though you may not understand it. He said, I don't know if anyone, this is his words, I don't know if anyone has really understood what we're trying to do. This isn't just about shock value. That's just there to lure the people in. Once we've got them, we can give them our message. All right? What's the music? It's to get you to associate with them, and then they can convey a message to them. Okay? The artists of the world have sold themselves to the prince of the power of this world and are carriers of his message. A lot of the things that they talk about is relayed through the music, via the music, through their words, okay? Listen, if it's kind of like a friend. Music is kind of like a friend, okay? You know, you can pick your friends. You have the ability as a person to choose who your friends are. You don't have to allow circumstances to choose your friends. When I went to Bible college, I had 3 roommates, okay? But those roommates were not my friends. Now, they could have been. And I could have allowed my circumstances to choose my friends, but I chose people I wanted to be my friends. Because you know the thing about friends is you can choose your friends, but you can't choose how your friends will affect you. The only thing you can do is choose your friends. Okay, for instance, if I said, well, I'm gonna go, you know, hang out with some friends at the bar one night a week, but I'm not gonna drink anything. Okay? Now, is me not drinking something a good thing? Yes, that's good. But I go and I hang out with them, and then it goes to, okay, I'm going to hang out with them 2 nights a week. Maybe at their house. We're not going to go to the bar. We're just going to go to the house. All right? And then it grows to 3 nights a week. How long do you think it would take before their lifestyle and before my lifestyle starts to become like their lifestyle? Okay? Well, music's the same way. All right? Yeah, okay, I walk into Walmart and I hear a song. And you know what? I hear it. And quite honestly, I told you last week, I can pretty much filter. I don't really struggle with it. I can pretty much block it, zone it out. Okay? I don't really have a problem with that. But if you listen to it every day, even in small amounts, do you realize that it will start affecting you? Okay, it's like taking rat poison's what, 99% corn and other good stuff, but it's that little bit that kills. Okay, so the message that they're relaying through the music, the drinking, the smoking, the drugs, the sex, the self mutilation, the suicide, these are not thoughts/actions that are product of the Holy Spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit does not relay those type of messages, okay? And they are relaying these messages through their songs. They are telling people to kill themselves, okay? They are doing that, all right? They're telling people that you need to go to hell. They're telling them that. I'm going to read you Bon Jovi. When I was just a boy, the devil took my hand, took me from my home. He made me a man. I'm going down, 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 down on the homebound train. What's he talking about? Going to hell. You know why so many people have accepted the fact, oh, it's just going to be a big party down there? Because of what they've been taught through the music they're listening to. Nobody just thinks that. You know what kids think when you talk about, you know, you tell them, you know, because you're a sinner, you're going to go to a place called hell. That does not generate a sense of excitement in the average person. They have to be trained that way. He also said, I'd kill my mother for rock and roll. I would sell my soul. He said that, okay? There's songs. They talk about killing themselves. They talk about, okay, here's one. AC/DC wrote this. Ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. Hey, Satan, paid my dues. I'm on the way to the promised land. I'm on the way to hell. Why do you think that we've got such a warped sense? All right? Listen, they've accepted it with the music, and then they can relay this message through their words. All right? Pink Floyd says, this is blasphemy. I want you to listen to this. This is blasphemy. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. With bright knives he releaseth my soul. He maketh me to hang on hooks in high places. For lo, he hath great power and great hunger. You listen to the blasphemy of that. But not only the blasphemy, but also the message he's relaying there. He's talking about butchering people. It's what he's literally talking about. Okay? Now listen, folks. I know this is the extreme. But I want you to realize that it's not just these guys that are relaying a message. Okay? And the fact that they're wanting to blend, and we'll get into this in a moment, the fact that they're wanting to blend Christianity and this type of music together, okay, is absolute blasphemy, okay? And we're getting to that. That's what contemporary Christian music is. Whatever flavor of it you're talking about, that's what it is, okay? All right, so the music of the world ministers to the flesh. The beat is what is emphasized. If the beat is accepted, it will relay a message. It's like the friend. If you accept them as a friend, as a true friend. Listen, I've got a lot of acquaintances, but I don't have a lot of friends. Because a friend is somebody that I allow to influence me. Okay? You cannot control what the message that the music carries. You can only control the fact of whether you listen to it or not. You can take any type of music, and most indefinitely, it will minister to the flesh. Have you ever thought, why do they have music videos? Why was Elvis such a big thing in his day? Because it was at the same time when they started coming out with, you could not only listen to it, you could see it too. Okay? Why a music video? They are more and more appealing to the flesh. You don't just see somebody standing there and singing a song. Their body is constantly gyrating. It's moving. Okay? Why? Because it appeals even more to the flesh. And their flesh is attracted to that. Okay? If they can get your flesh hooked, they also have your pocketbook. Remember, this is not about glorifying God in any way, shape, or form. It's not even about having you become their friend. The only reason they want you for their friend is so that they can make the next hit. Okay? The love of money, root of all evil. Remember, these performers are performing to appeal to your flesh. Through sexuality and sensuality, they are developing a group of young people that will do anything to be accepted by that performer. The truth of the matter is that performer doesn't even know you and doesn't care about you. But they want, you know, all the fans want to be accepted by that performer. Okay? You watch a rock concert, and what do? They've all got their hands up in the air. It's like we go to the youth conference, and, you know, they shoot the t-shirts out and different stuff, candy. You know, what does everybody do? They stand up and they want the attention. They're trying to get the attention of that person. Well, it's the same thing. Okay? They're trying to get the attention of that person, to be recognized, to be noted in some way. They, or rather the devil, wants your body, they want your mind, they want to control you, they want to have your money. This happens through appeasement of the flesh. I think rock music is kind of an obvious, okay? I think all the things I just read was kind of an obvious. That's a pretty much black and white thing, all right? You say, Brother Chad, what about the country music? Oh, yeah. Country music. You know, country music probably for our area, for our demographics, is probably the thing that is appealing. All right? We're country people. Hence the name country music. All right? you can tell a lot about a person's music by what they wear. Have you ever thought about that? All right. If a guy comes in and he's wearing, you know, complete black, and he's got chains hanging off everywhere, and he's got all these piercings, I'm not going to say he's going to listen to, you know, Southern gospel. Right? Why? Listen, here again. Why are they dressing that way? Because they're associating with that group of people. Okay? Now, I mean, if a guy comes driving in and, you know, a big jacked up 4x4 truck, you know, he's playing a Dixie horn as he comes in, and I'm not going to say my initial thought, you know, he gets out of the truck with cowboy boots and his jeans stuffed in them, and, you know, his hat's all tore up, and he's got, you know, two rifles in his back window. He's probably not listening to heavy metal. Right? Okay. Now listen, you think, well, how does that, we are many times, the things we listen to do affect us. Okay. They do affect us. And so you got to be careful about, well, it's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. In ways you don't understand, that music is putting into your mind a profile of a person. Okay. And we accept it. We accept it. So we've got the country music. Some people say that it's got its roots in gospel, and that it can be probably very true. Okay. I'd say most of the country music singers, a lot of them have their roots in standing behind a pulpit and singing. Okay. Country music generally appeals to our type of young person that grows up around here, rural red-blooded Americans. However, what country music generally talks about is the gratification of the flesh. Think about it. What is most country music talking about? The gratification of the flesh. It's talking about, remember, it's not just the words, but also the music. The beat of the music excites something in the body, all right? You can't square dance to Amazing Grace. Right? There is something about the music, not just the words, but the music itself that appeals to your flesh. And so they appeal to the flesh, and then they put the message with it also. All right? The beat of the music excites something in the body. Any spirituality is usually preceded by the description of the sin before. Now listen to me. Think about most country music. And I don't listen to it, okay? But you listen to country music songs, and if it has any element of spirituality, it's always preceded by the sin that happened before the spirituality. What does country music teach? You can sin on Saturday and go to church on Sunday, and it's going to be all okay. I want the preacher's daughter. Why? Well, this, you know, I stole her from her mom and dad. And that's what Christ would want you to teach? No, that's not the principles that we have in our Bible. Okay? And it goes against it. You know, I'm going to drink it up. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to buy what I want. Okay? But you know, country music is odd in the fact that, you know, in the first verse you get all this stuff, and in the second verse you've lost it all. It's really kind of depressing if you actually look at the lyrics. You know, I lost my wife, I lost my dog, I lost my truck, I lost my job. That's real encouraging. That's what I want to, you know, versus I want that mountain, okay? And that's what country music does. It says you can sin on Saturday and you can make it right on Sunday, okay? Well, listen, how about we just don't sin on Saturday? Why would I listen to music that encourages me to do this with the idea that, oh, it's going to be all okay? All right? People want to go live the country music lifestyle. They want that persona of this is what we are going to be. There again, you're feeding your flesh, and any amount of spirituality is smothered completely by this flesh. Proverbs chapter number 2. I think we went there last week. We'll be back in Matthew. We're going to be back in Matthew. Proverbs chapter number 2. We talked about these people last week. Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 12. The Bible says, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." So we've got a man here who is evil, and he speaks froward things, perverse things. Okay? And we look at his backgrounds, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So he was at one time walking in the ways of uprightness. He now has left them, walking in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Here again, look at her background, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. This describes most country music singers. Many of them have a background of Christianity, but have left it in a pursuit of success and fame or fortune. Who is looking for the Christian young person of today? The devil is, by way of these performers. If they've sold out to the devil, why wouldn't it make sense that he is using them to convey his message? And like I said, what's the message? Go ahead. Sin on Saturday. Sunday is coming. Go to Proverbs. You're in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Why would you sing about the glamour of sin and then sing about how it's all going to be okay? Listen, I read in the Bible, for the wages of sin is death. There's a consequence for sin. Not a, oh, you can just go do whatever you want. You can go sow your wild oats and it's all going to be okay. No, you sow your wild oats. You know what you're going to reap? Wild oats. And so why are we listening to music that is encouraging this thought, this concept in our lives? Proverbs chapter number 7, look down at verse number 7, or 6, look at verse 6. The Bible says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn." I'm just going to pause right there. Look at the profile of most women country music singers. Bam. Right there. Okay? Everything. As we continue to read, I want you to think about this. First of all, loud and stubborn. They're all loud. Right? Every one of them. Anyway, her feet abide not in her house. It's interesting. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, "I have peace offerings with me." This is a statement of spirituality. "I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows." What's she saying? It's okay. I'm a Christian too. All right? I'm a Christian too. "Therefore came I forth to meet thee." Remember what I said about their appealing to you as a person? I'm singing this for you. I want this to be for you. What's she saying here? "Therefore came I forth to meet thee." If you look at verse number 26, the Bible says, "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her." Okay? He's not the first one, and he's not going to be the last. Verse number 16. "I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey." Country music, country music, country music. This is the ideology of it. It's okay. Nobody's going to know about it. We can go do this, you know, out in the back 40 and nobody's going to know about it. Okay? So you've got this. Now, I'm gonna go through this. There's three zones of social interaction. There's the arm length distance. Okay, most you have a conversation with people here at church. You carry it out in a social zone. Okay, you're an arm length distance, right? Or two arms length. During COVID, it was 6 feet. Okay, no, you had that social interaction. Now, quite honestly, I don't care if you're a lady or a guy. If I'm having a conversation with you, I don't want you much closer than an arm's length distance. There's just something that gets uncomfortable. You know, there's those people that just have to come up to you and, you know, every time you take a step back, they take one step forward. And, you know, you try to get in a different pew and they move around to the, it's like, I don't mind talking to you. Just stay out of my bubble, okay? Stay out of my bubble. And so I think you would agree there's this social zone of interaction, okay? So we've got that, and that's common. The personal zone. I would reserve this for close family and friends, okay? This is your personal zone, all right? Now, I don't mind if my kids come up and they want to hug me, and my kids come up, or I talk to my dad, or I talk to my mom. And you know what that is? That's my personal zone. I'm willing to go closer to somebody than I am the average church member if I'm related to them. Okay, does that make sense? All right, so that's your personal zone. Then there's the intimate zone, okay? That's like, now, I love my dad. But that's a little too close for comfort, okay? And I love my mom, and I'll give my mom a hug, but I don't carry on conversations like this, okay? I don't whisper in my mom's ear, "Hey, Mom, what are we having for lunch?" I don't do that. Now, I may come and put my arm around my mom and say, "Hey, Mom, what are we having for lunch?" That's a personal zone, okay? If one of the lady's ear was fixing us lunch, I would not come and put my arm around you and say, "What are we having for lunch?" I would use a social zone. "What are we having for lunch?" Does that make sense? But my wife, I would whisper, "What are we having for lunch?" What? Listen, that's an intimate zone. And I think, all right, this is an adult class. I think you understand there's a difference. Okay? There is a difference in those zones. But you know what? Even at a personal zone, and that's the one with family and friends, you don't normally whisper in a personal zone. You still can carry on a normal conversation. Think about how a lot of these people sing. They are going, okay, yeah, you've got your heavy metal people, but think about the country music singers. They shove that mic way up in their mouth, and they start whispering their songs. Okay? What are they doing? Through the music, they are inviting you into their intimate zone. Okay? Well, yeah, it's done through a mic, and yeah, you'll never get that close to them because of their, you know, security guards. But they are inviting you into their personal zone. Did you notice what this woman did in Proverbs chapter number 7? Before she relayed her message, okay? Look down at verse number 13. Before anything has ever been said, verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. Before she ever relayed a message at all, she came up to him and she appealed. Now, did she appeal to his soul? Did she appeal to his spirit? Or did she appeal to his flesh? This is obvious. She appealed to his flesh. So once she appealed to his flesh, then she was able to relay the message that she wanted to relay. Okay? But only after she appealed to his flesh. Okay? So this strange woman caught him and kissed him. His intimate zone was being violated. She didn't shout from the rooftop, all the things that she wanted to do that night, did she? She didn't shout and say, "This is just for you," and she didn't broadcast it. No, she whispered it in his ear. She was close enough to catch him and kiss him and then whisper it in his ear. And you know what they're doing? They're using the same exact techniques. No, they're not catching you physically. But listen to me, they are catching people physically. The music is catching them before they relay the message. If they can catch your body, and your body's going to listen. Okay? So you got to be careful about that. It's not just about the words. The words go here, yes, but it's also about the music. They use this breathy, whispery singing. The performer is promising you something. What are they promising? Whatever the song says. That's what the performer is promising. Just like she is promising this young man something. The performer is promising. Okay? Whether you realize it or not, that performer, and I want you to think about it this way, and the devil that is driving them has been invited into your personal, intimate zone. You've invited them by listening. They have had a 4-minute conversation with you. The beat of the country music causes your body to feel things, and when your body is listening, they whisper things into your ear. When the young man's body was engaged, it is then that the talking started. Many Christians are being caught by the world's music, and they are listening then to the words of the world's music. You know what gets them to start with? I don't think it's the words. I think it's the beat. Christian young people start listening to the beat, but the words are soon to follow. They let the young lady take a hold of their arm. Oh, it's no big deal. We haven't done anything wrong. The message is in the process of coming, but you've already been caught. Bible says many strong men have been slain by her. Many Christian people have yielded to the sin of country music. Brother Chad, we've looked at rock music. We've looked at country music. But Brother Chad, what is wrong with this? CCM, contemporary Christian music. Go back to Matthew chapter number 12. It's where we're going to finish up. Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse number, we're going to look at verse number 22 again. All right, and we read this, okay? Not 22, I'm sorry. Look at verse number 25. The Bible says, "And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Okay? And here's the thing, folks. And I'm just going to be blunt. You cannot combine the music of the world with the words of Christianity. You cannot combine them. Because, okay, well, I know I shouldn't listen to country music because, Brother Chad, you said it appeals to our flesh. Listen, it's not just the words. It's the music. So if I take a country music, the chords of that song, that is appealing to my body. Remember, body, soul, spirit, spirit, soul, body, the order that we have in our lives. If I take something that's appealing to my body and then try to convey a message with that, it's not going to work. Okay? And I'm gonna show you that here in a moment. For instance, and right now, I want you to think about this. It would be like a prostitute from the red light district, because that's what this harlot was in Proverbs chapter 7. That's who she was. Coming up to a young man, grabbing him, caressing his arm, and then trying to lead him to the Lord. You're trying to take the message. It's a good message. But the delivery is completely wrong. Okay? Now, would he maybe repeat after her and say the words? He could. This young man went straightway after her as an ox to the slaughter. You know what an ox that goes to the slaughter is thinking? Oh, great. I get to go to pasture again. They have no idea. Most of them. I've had a few that I think they got a real good inclination about what's coming. But anyway, I'm just saying he's probably not going to be listening to a whole lot of what she's saying. Okay? He may nod his head and agree, but that's not where his mind is. And you guys know I'm speaking the truth. Okay? That's not where his mind is. Listen, folks, what is this? Contemporary Christian music is they're trying to take the beat of the world and then put a message with it and expect good results. You can't do it. It's impossible. The world and carnal Christians want to tell you that the method of delivery is not important. No, the method of delivery is very important. Wouldn't you think that a young man that is carnally minded would make a decision because of the scantily dressed woman hanging on his arms? He might make the decision, but it would not be a decision that his spirit made. It would be a decision that his flesh made. Okay? I've had this conversation with people before, and it's like, well, we just get them all in, and they Linton has one. The jam with the lamb, or jam for the lamb, or lamb jam, or whatever it's called. Okay? And you know what they're doing? They're trying to, under the guise of Christianity, they're singing to people's flesh. We had a church in Kentucky called Quest. I love these new churches' names. They're always like one word, mono, they couldn't figure out a good name. We're the Creek, I don't know, the Crossing. There's some others around here, Crossroads and others that, listen, what are they doing? I'm sorry, but you cannot have the beat of the world and deliver the message of Christ. How can Beelzebub cast out devils? What is he saying? House divided against itself cannot stand. You know what contemporary Christian music is? A house divided against itself. It's either one or the other. And I guarantee you, it's not spirit-led. Okay? Why do they have to have praise and worship leaders? Why do they have to get up here and perform with their music? Because it still appeals even more. What? The same thing with music videos. It appeals to the flesh even more. And then they're trying to deliver a spiritual message. Well, we're just, we should just felt the spirit. Well, there was one. There was one for sure. Real rock and roll people don't even think that don't even think contemporary Christian music is legit. Kittel is his name. Kittel Kittleson, one of the founders of the death metal band, I think his name is Vomit. I think that's his stage name. Former member of the band Mayhem was asked what he thought of Christian rock in an interview in 2007. He said this. He said, if you want to be a Christian, be it with all you've got. And if you want to be metal, be it with all you've got. If those people really took their faith seriously and followed the instructions of the one they profess to believe in, they would never be found in a context like that. They are on a collision course with Christian life and teaching. Rock music, metal music has nothing to do at all in a Christian setting. That's a rock star. Those are words from him. You know what they recognize? Listen, you can't serve both. And you know what I will say for these guys? They are 100% wrong, but they give it 100%. Absolutely. They're willing to do almost anything for what they believe in. Wouldn't it be nice if Christians would do that? Right? I mean, they're willing to get up and, I believe, hey, listen, if it's time to sing, sing with all you got. Give it all you got. These guys, rock and roll concerts do. Why can't the church you know, congregation, get a, you know, just belt it out and sing praises to God. Okay? Because, listen, you know what he's saying? He's like, if you're going to be a Christian, you know what he said? Do it with all you've got. He wasn't even bashing him at this point. He said, give it 100%. But he said, but if you're going to do metal or rock, give it 100%. He said, there's no 50-50 here. All right? There's no such thing as a secure... Mick Jagger said this. There's no such thing as a secure, family-oriented rock and roll song. There is no such thing. And that's a country. That's a rock singer saying that. Listen, folks, the world's gonna try to pump it down your throat, and they're gonna cover it. Well, it's okay. It's got good words. Listen, if the message is wrong, I want you to think about that lady grabbing that young man, and then trying to tell him a good message. It's not gonna work. Okay, and listen, folks. This country music, it's a bigger deal than what you think, okay? Because it's relaying a message, all right? You're going through the body and you're trying to relay a message. And you got to be careful. This contemporary Christian, I don't think probably most people in here struggle with, you know, heavy metal and, you know, all this stuff. But you need to think about this, all right? You know what? Pray for our young people. Music is a big deal for young people. It's huge. Tiffany Evans, and we'll pretty much finish with this. This is a quote from her. She said, "Man, I really wish I could tell you guys what really goes on in the music industry, what it really is, and what stars are a part of destroying this world. The stars who worship Satan and those who have killed to get the respect they have now, you'd be very surprised. Some of your favorite musicians pretend to worship God, but they only do that to save face or seem innocent." This is her statement. "Satan was ahead of music in heaven. He uses influential people to help influence the world. Think about that. Once you make a certain amount of money, just know that that's when they ask you to join. To get in, you have to accept the beast, worship him. Once you join, they assist you with your career, make you huge, only if you agree and obey. If you commit to destroy God's word and his children, people listen and pay attention. It's a war going on right now between good and evil. Evil will rule this world for a minute. The people that have this power are the people that rule the whole world." Then she says this, this is interesting. "I'm done. I won't say any more before I get in trouble." Listen, folks. Brichette, what have you done the last couple? I've done what pastor does all the time. Just pull that veil back a little bit. Guys, folks, you need to see what's behind, what's their motive, what are they doing, what are they trying to convey, what's the message, okay? Look at the lyrics of these songs and look at the message. Well, it's just a song, and you'll miss little things in the song, all right? Listen, folks, stick to your hymnal. That music that Faith Music Missions produces, and there's a lot of others. I know there's some others that they produce. Saturate your life with good music. Saturate it. If you you can't think about two things at the same time. Have you ever done? We called them song wars. Song wars. You'd have the guys singing one song and the girls singing a different song at the same time. You know how hard that is? Listen, your mind can only really listen to one song at a time. And it's your choice on which songs you listen to. You can't choose how that song will affect you, but you can choose what you decide to listen to. Okay? Listen to the right stuff, and it will minister to your spirit, and it will draw you closer to God. Okay? You know, I've gotten messages out of songs I've heard before. God spoke, you know, you're having a tough day, and all of a sudden, you know, I listen to WYTJ sometimes. My truck radio don't work, so my truck's really quiet most of the time. But I sometimes, and a song will come on. I listen to the one, there's a radio station from Pastor Treber's church. You can get it. You can like, it's like an app. Brother Ali got me listening to that one when we were in Chicago. And you know, there'll be a song come on and it's just like, you just needed it that day. All right. You just needed it. So listen to the right kind of music. God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Thank you for music. Thank you for just the men and the ladies in our church that just are stalwart in their stand on the right kind of music. And God, Lord, it's a big deal. Lord, it's a big deal, especially for our young people. Lord, so tempting to allow that beat to influence us, and then the message influences us. And then before long, they're living the lifestyle of the music that they listen to. God, I pray that you protect them. Help us as adults. Help us to have the right music in our homes and to encourage that. Thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name.